What was his name? Bob Dylan said the times they are changing, and unfortunately, the regime and control of New Zealand, i.e. the bankers, that ain't. All right, Paul Carruthers is my very special guest. Now, we've talked about the Labour leaders, we've talked about the Alan Hubbard debacle. Where would you like to go next, or would you like to stay on this kind of leadership thing?
Yeah, I do, because I want to talk about how I'll give an example of how Cunliffe, I don't think you can expect anything different out of him. So this guy went to Alan Hubbard's house and then basically, you know, tried to get information that he thought he might be able to hang John Key in Parliament with, but then had a complete meltdown and a panic attack when I notified Alan Hubbard's investors that he'd done that. Because I asked him, I said, what are you worried about, David? You can imagine I'm driving along, right, I was on Bluetooth, but I was driving along in my car and got David Cunliffe having a go at me down the phone, and I'm going, David, what's your problem? What are you worried about? Why are you so worried that I told Alan Hubbard's investors you went there and got some information and that you're going to stand up for them in Parliament? And he said, oh, because National can get hold of the information and embarrass me with it. Well, what's more important to you, you know?
Well, hold on a second. They're going to embarrass you for seeking out information to hang them with.
Yeah, like here he was there getting information that absolutely, it's been proven in several ways that investigation was unlawful. David Cunliffe knows it. He's been given all of the evidence on a plate, right? David Cunliffe knows the investigations were unlawful. He knows the receivership was a scam. He knows that parties related to the receivers and the decision makers have benefited materially from it at taxpayers' expense. He knows we can't get an inquiry into it because John Key and Bill English are playing secret squirrel. He knows that they're using terminology like, oh well, it's the sale of the assets were commercially sensitive. So, you know, even though your taxpayer money was used, it was commercially sensitive. We can't declare who we sold it to or for how much or how much money was lost or what we had to pay out the bank with your money. We can't get any of that information, and yet taxpayer money was used. And have you seen David Cunliffe stand up once and challenge any of this? No. So why do you think he's going to be any better or different? Now, I've heard all the stories from the Martin Bradburys and people like that saying, oh, you know, Alan Hubbard was a fraud, he was Mr. Magoo, you know, trust David Cunliffe, you know, he nobody could stop what was happening, Alan Hubbard was as guilty as sin, and, you know, don't listen to that pork or others, he's an idiot. Well, Alan Hubbard never had a trial. So what Martin Bradbury and David Cunliffe and the rest of them are asking you to do is to basically turn a blind eye to the fact that the justice system was completely left out of this equation.
It was missing in action.
It was completely missing in action. What they're all saying is you've just got to take our word for it that Alan Hubbard was guilty and therefore $1 billion of your money was needed. Now, what I'm saying is I am lumping David Cunliffe in right in there with John Key in terms of liability and culpability for this, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because David Cunliffe has got the power to stop it. David Cunliffe always had the power to stop it, and David Cunliffe never exercised the power to stop it, right? So he's as guilty as you are, and I can absolutely guarantee you he knows enough of the fine details about this subject, right, to know that he could finish John Key by next week with it. And why isn't he doing it?
I smell blackmail.
Yep, no, he's not. I'll tell you why he's not doing it, because he knows that John Key can turn around in Parliament and say, ah, yes, David, but something like 24 finance companies collapsed on your watch. You left us with no choice, right, but to have to step in and act. And guess what? All the no-brain, no-thinkers, all the people with the 4.5-second bloody attention spans out there, what they're going to do is go, yeah, John's right. We needed to be saved from one of these finance company directors, and it doesn't matter if the process was all dodgy about the way they went about it. At the end of the day,
it doesn't matter whether all the money went to John Key and his mates.
Yeah, it doesn't. At the end of the day, Alan Hubbard, old, sick, who cares? We just wanted somebody to go down. So we're not going to argue with John Key about it. We're not going to question David Cunliffe about it. We're just going to accept that it needed to happen. Well,
think about the morality standard. You know, you're going after an elderly man who's on kidney dialysis. Just that by itself.
Yep. I mean, nobody questioned I got into it because he was 84 years old and getting dialysis. I'm like, what's wrong with you people? The guy's sick. The way a society treats its elderly people and its young people is an indication of where we're at. And I'd say, based on all the evidence I've seen, we're screwed.
I reckon they were probably hoping he'd die of his illness before he'd ever have the chance to fight back.
Alan was due in court 3 days after he was killed. Less than 3 days, actually, 2.5 days after he was killed. He was due in court to submit all of his evidence to challenge all of the government's actions against him. Now, I know what was in his evidence, and I'll tell you now. That was 5 weeks before the last election, and the evidence that was going to be submitted in court would have found its way into the newspapers the same day. And that would have finished, that would have, if it didn't make, if that evidence didn't stop the government from winning the last election, it would have severely damaged their chances. They would have certainly lost seats over it, because the evidence was overwhelming that the investigations were unlawful and that the government had effectively lied to the New Zealand public, completely misled the New Zealand public. Now, David Cunliffe knows this and he's done nothing about it, right? So they're all guilty of misleading you. I'll absolutely guarantee you that. And if I'm wrong, then I would be happy to be proven wrong by a full judicial inquiry into the South Canterbury Finance Receivership. But what I'm not willing to accept is anybody, David Cunliffe, John Key, or Bill English, or any of their supporters on any side, trying to tell me that there shouldn't be an inquiry, or that it doesn't matter that proper process was dispensed with, or that the justice system was completely trashed in this process because it was a finance company director, right? The minute we start going down that road, it's a slippery slope we can't return from, because then what we're doing is we're just hanging people out to dry by media trial. I mean, Judith Collins is very good at it, right? She just litigates everything by media.
So is Paula Bennett.
You know, I'll give an example with the way they do things. David Bain spent 13 years in jail. He's effectively been on trial for 20. If you look at the way we carry on in the newspapers and on Facebook and on television, David Bain has effectively been on trial for 20 years. Of those 20 years, he spent 13 of them in jail. But that's not enough for some people, right? They've still got to hang the guy. So when Judith Collins gets presented with an opportunity to offer this guy compensation, or with the question of whether we should offer him compensation or not, she just hangs it out in the media and basically starts a whole new trial. So we're now into what, the 21st or 22nd year of David Bain's ongoing trial, thanks to a justice minister that actually doesn't want to do her job. And that's the way things are going in this country. What they're doing is they're using the media. When I say there, I'm meaning the political parties. They're using the media to litigate subjects in the public forum that actually belong before the courts. Then what you're finding in this country is that everything that does go to court usually goes against the government. Kim.com's a classic case, right? If Alan Hubbard had gone to court, the whole outcome would have been different. The public would have been alerted to the fact that this whole South Canterbury Finance Receivership was a scam. But he was killed 3 days before he got to court in a car accident. So, well, actually, no, he wasn't killed in a car accident. He died of a heart attack 2.5 hours after the car accident. But the car accident was the means by which he was put in the position where he lost his life, was the best way I could describe it.
Yeah, well, he was apparently he was laughing and joking with the nurses or whatever. Look, and then they bung him in a helicopter that's like a couple of minutes ride to the hospital that he's going to, and he dies on that ride.
A couple
of days before he's meant to go in court to destroy the national government 5 weeks before the election. Isn't that freaking convenient?
I mean, half of you people would have watched the other driver on Campbell Live several weeks ago, the guy that hit them. There he was on Campbell Live and nobody joined the dots. He said, oh, yeah, I thought it was a bit strange. Yeah, they wheeled him past on the trolley on his way to the helicopter, and he told me, and I had a bit of a chat to him, and he seemed perfectly fine to me. I mean, his widow told me the same thing. Oh, yeah, the last I saw him, they wheeled him past me on the trolley, and he said, oh, they're taking me to Dunedin. And she said to him, oh, well, I'm going there in an ambulance, so I'll see you in a few hours. Oh, yeah, okay, see you later. Half an hour later, he's dead. I mean, no, of a heart attack. And yet, whenever you pick up a newspaper, whenever you read a newspaper, Fairfax is really good at it. They'll say, Alan Hubbard died in a car accident. Alan Hubbard died in a car accident. Alan Hubbard died in a car accident. Every time you read a newspaper, he did not die in a car accident. mm-hmm. right? He was injured in a car accident, but he was laughing and chatting to all of the staff for up to 2 hours after the car accident, and he died of a heart attack when he was airlifted in the helicopter to Dunedin Hospital for surgery. Now,
it's come out in the U.S. Congress. I don't want to get all conspiratorial here, but it does happen that the CIA and DARPA and a number of other agencies have developed weapons that they can use to actually cause heart attacks and be completely undetectable, untraceable. So it's not outside the realms of possibility. I'm not saying that's what happened. But these kind of things happen all the time. Look, intelligence agencies are very ruthless, and they act on behalf of whoever's corrupt. In my experience, you take the unions, for example, the people who kind of voted for David Cunliffe to be the next leader of the Labour Party. I've spoken to a number of former union leaders, and they say that the whole dang structure of them have been completely infiltrated by intel ops and so on and so forth. So there's a whole bunch of complicated things going on here, and the fact that it stinks to high heaven and is highly suspicious, I think, is enough.
I think that, I think what propelled David Cunliffe to the lead of the Labour Party was all the help he got from the Duncan Garners and the Martin Bradburys and all these people that are busy trying to help.
That's all of the above.
Yeah, I mean, all these people are just misleading the public, basically, but there's nothing, I mean, they've got the broadcasting power, you can't stop them. I mean, it's up to you, you people out there, to exercise your individual choice and exercise, you know, discretion and common sense.